Morning. Good to have everyone here this morning, and a great day to be here with our potluck meal afterward. Hopefully everyone can stick around and we get a chance to meet you, and if you are new here, if some we haven't connected with in a while, to be able to say hello and get to know each other. And again, if there's anything we can do as a church body, make sure that someone knows that if you need a visit or a prayer or have a need, we'd love to know about those so we can join together with you. Life groups, I said, are kind of starting going, and there's some lists in the back there. If you're not a part of a life group, still can join a part of one. Come tonight. There's two groups meeting here and one meeting at Tracy's tonight. And if you did not get an email from the church, an email message from the church, and you like to receive emails from the church, please email the church your email. So that's a lot of email. Just email the church saying, I'd like to be on the email list. And also, we've started a Facebook group, North Bend Church of Christ Family, so you can search that, or if you're on there, I'm going to add some other people that aren't part of that group, just a way to get communication going and to be aware of what's going on. It is great to be here. This is the third lesson of our I Am series, and in this series, I've been looking at times where God, as the I Am, has said and promised some things that He is and things that of who He is. In the last 2 weeks, we looked at His promises to Moses, Him saying, I am with you, and then also His promise that He gave to Moses and also to Joshua, saying, I will never leave you nor forsake you. God promises that God will go before Joshua and the nation to defeat the enemies that are in the land. So the charge and the command is to obey God, to love God, and to be strong and courageous as you go forward with God. In this series, I'm asking, if God is with us, then what is our response? If we believe God is with us, that God will never leave us nor forsake us, what are we? If God is assuring us that He is here with us in our lives, will we obey? Will we love? And will we have the courage to go with Him and do what He has called us to do? Today we'll look at the Lord's promise to the Israelites under Joshua's leadership of God saying again to Joshua as Joshua is taking over the leadership of the nation, Him saying again, I will be with you and I will leave you. And we will hear the Lord's instructions in Joshua chapter 1 of what the Lord should do in response in order to stay obedient to Him. I hope that this series will remind us of God's presence, of His promise, and of His love for us. I pray that our response will be to obey, to love, and to be mobilized to carry out His will in our lives. Like I said, last week we left off with Moses passing God's promises and commands over to Joshua. And I love the passage in Deuteronomy 30, 11 through 14. It says, Now what I'm commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. It is not up in heaven so that you have to ask, Who will ascend into heaven to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it? Nor is it beyond the sea so that we have to ask, Who will cross the sea and proclaim it to us so we may obey it? I love this. He says, No, the word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart so you may obey it. The word is not far. The word is not so unattainable. It is not so far away. The word is here. It is near you and it is near me. It is in our mouths and it's in our hearts. For us to respond, to obey it. It's not far away. So what are the words in our mouths? What are the words that are on our hearts? And where do these words come from? What are the words that we say? Where do they even come from? And what does it even matter what we say? Well, it really matters to everything what we say. It matters to everything and to everyone what we say. And Jesus speaks of this in response to a question. In Matthew 15, Jesus was discussing an issue with the Pharisees and disciples and explained to them what makes something clean or unclean. They were arguing about that they saw the Pharisees saw the disciples and Jesus eating with dirty hands and said, these guys are unclean because they're eating with dirty hands. And Jesus tries to explain to these Pharisees and also to His disciples so they are clear again of what it is that makes someone unclean. Let's read Matthew 15, 17 through 20. says, "Don't you see? Whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach, and then out of the body. But the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart, and these make a man unclean. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what make a man unclean. But eating with unwashed hands does not make him unclean." See, he talks about food here. He says, we understand food comes into our mouth and into our stomachs, and then that food affects how our bodies act, doesn't it? Has your body ever responded to what you ate? Has it ever given you energy or made you feel weak? And perhaps I've noticed this, especially when I've changed my diet, when I've tried to eat a little bit differently. Since about Easter, we've tried to do the low-carb, no-sugar Atkins thing. Now, we've been on it and off again, but for a while, we were pretty well on it. And we've gotten rid of all the white ingredients. You know, the flour, the rice, the pasta, the sugar. But after a while, we began to feel different. What was coming into our mouth and into our stomach and how our bodies were reacting, how our bodies were responding was different. We felt better. Now, there are times when we controlled what we ate. Now, Leah and I agreed that, you know, there are times when we need to be kind and not be so strict. If we get invited to someone's house and they provide a meal for us, we don't need to be, "Oh, I can't eat that. I'm not going to eat that right now. I need to, you know, let go of my diet and eat what's presented in front of me." And it would be the good white ingredients. The rice, the pasta, the bread. Oh, I forgot about the bread. I said flour, but oh, when you say bread, it means it sounds so much better. And the sugar. And we would eat that and we would love it. But after being off of that for a while, we felt it in our bodies. Oh, that feels a little different. Oh, it was the flour and the bread and the sugar. And so there are times when we can control what comes in, and there's times we can't, that what comes into our body. And there are also times that we can control, and the times that we can't control what comes in through our eyes, into our ears, and through our lives that come into our heart. The things that come out of the mouth, he says, come from the heart, and these things make a man unclean. So the things that come out of our heart are what have come in through our eyes, in our ears, in our experiences. Now, there are times that we can't control what comes in, can we? We're in settings, we're at workplaces, we're in the community, we're around people, and we can't control what they're saying or how they're acting or what they're doing. There are times when we can't control what someone is saying. "Hey, look what I found on my phone," and here you go, right? It's in our face. We can't control that, and we saw it or we heard it, and those things come in. But there are times, actually a lot of time, that we can control what comes in our eyes, in our ears, and what we experience. The media and the content that we're putting ourselves in front of. These things that come in to our heart, but then it's the things that come out of that. The words matter for everything. He said, these are what make a man unclean, is the things that come out. They determine clean or unclean. Back to Joshua and Moses and the Lord. In Deuteronomy, he said, the word is near you. It is in your mouth. It is in your heart, so you may obey it. The people of Israel, the word of God was ever before them. And it was told to them over and over and over again. And it was commanded to them in the first part of Deuteronomy, as Moses is recounting the law to the people, he gives them this awesome command that it was vital for them to remember and vital for them not just have it in their minds and in their hearts, but to have it come out of their mouths so that those that hear it would obey it. The command is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commands I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home. Talk about them when you walk along the road. Talk about them when you lie down. Talk about them when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands. Bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your cities and your gates. They say, this is how you control what is coming before you. What you see, what you hear, what you experience. Experience this love at home with your families. Talk about them all the time. Write them out so that when you see the media, this is media. This is the content that St. Lord is saying is important, that we impress this, that we talk about this, that we say this. Because I know the things that come in our eyes, in our ears, in our experiences, those are the things that come into our hearts. But not just to stay there, the things that are in our hearts are the things that come out of our lives and out of our mouths. Now again, so at this stage in the journey now, back up here to Moses, passing over the leadership to Joshua, they're reminding them of this again. Now it's again their choice as they're entering this new stage of the journey. It's always been a choice. But it's always been good to affirm and to reaffirm one's obedience, one's love, and one's courage at any stage as we're going from one day to the next. It's one stage, one moment to the next. So here we are. Let's turn to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, starting in verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert of Lebanon, from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave to you. Now Joshua is claiming this command, claiming these words, and saying them again out loud as the new leader to the people as they're about to cross the Jordan River to possess the land the Lord has given them. And he repeats the command, and the Lord repeats the command to Joshua and says, I will be with you. And for Joshua, that's got to be, yes, the Lord is with me. He says, I will never leave you. And Joshua's got to say, yes, I'm confident you will never leave you. And he says, be strong and courageous. Yes, I need to be reminded. Yes, I will be strong and courageous. And he gives the command again, be careful to obey. And Joshua's heart is saying, yes. But how to obey? How to keep this law in their hearts and coming out of their mouths? Let's go on and read Joshua 7 and following. Be careful to obey all the law my servant gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth, but meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So first he says, in answering his own question and his own charge of obeying, says, do not turn. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Not even the slightest turn. Well, what causes this turning? What causes one to get off focus, to get their eyes off of the Lord and onto something else? It doesn't take much. Okay, guys, how many of us men drivers never go the wrong way when we talk and we turn and we look? We never. Honey, get off the road. I'm still on the line. You haven't heard the bumps of the side road yet. It doesn't take much to start, when our attention goes a different direction, for us to start turning our whole life and the whole life of everyone in the car a different direction. Guys are like, no, but ladies, is that right? Doesn't take much turning to get us distracted to then start, not just our eye, just a little slight of the eye. And you know, cell phone usage in the car has always been, is now the big thing. No texting, no phones, but there have always been a distraction. Have you ever veered off because you changed the station on the radio? Because you were doing your hair? You were reading a book? You were drinking your coffee? I've seen these videos of people that can do 100 things all at one time while driving. It's like, how is this car moving? Every arm and hand is doing something. You know, but it doesn't take much to get us off course. And what causes the turning is so many distractions, so many things. Jesus knew this too well, and he speaks of it. In Matthew 6:21, it says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Because where your treasure is, what your goal is, what's most important, that's where you start to aim. It says, do not turn from it to the right or left. There are other things that look good. There are other things in life that other people say, this, do this, try this. This looks good. This looks fun. But it takes us away from the Lord. The Hebrew writer even says, so because of the distractions, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. So it's other things, it's distractions that cause us to turn. Also, sometimes ourselves, our own inward life causes to turn. You know, you could look to the left, you could look to the right, but you could also look in. That's usually where the cell phone thing comes into play with driving, because you're looking down, right? You're looking down. And when you're looking down and looking in can also get us off course. You know, we look at our own defeats. We look at the times that, yeah, I've gotten off course and I need to fix it. I need to make it right. But we're looking in the wrong place. We're looking in the wrong direction. We've turned our eyes away from the Lord. We're looking too much at ourselves, or we're looking at the defeat of other people and going, oh, and all that turning to different things get us off course. Do not turn. Why do not turn? Because success is on the line. Because it matters to everything where our eyes are looking. It matters to everything what direction we're going. Israel was moving ahead into a new land that would require battles. It would require strength. It would require courage and obedience. But it would require a resolute attention on the Lord to assure their victory. He says, if you do this, you will be successful. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Success is on the line. Secondly, he says, do not let this book depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night. So the law, the accounts of the people, this was an oral society where not a lot of people could write, not a lot of people could read. Now, there were some scribes, there were people who were trained that could do that. But generally, most people learned things by being spoken to and by saying and by telling stories. And so they had to be told over and over again. It was in their mouths. It was in their hearts. That's why it was important why the families had to tell it over and over. He says, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. I know it's in it. If you're part of this nation, you're part of this people, you have heard this over, and I know it's been in there, and I know it's in your mouth. And he says, meditate. People stop being obedient to God when the words stop coming out of their mouth. People stop being obedient to God when the words are no longer on their hearts. People stop being obedient to God when they stop reading and meditating daily on God's word. It's been said, you know, as people have looked at people who have left the Lord, what did they do? What got them off course? What did they first stop doing to get them on this other path? And some say one of the first things they stopped doing was stop reading their Bible. They stopped getting their attention, and they quickly started turning away from, not at first the Lord, but turning away from His Word. Don't let this book depart from your mouth. Talk about it when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. It says, meditate on it. Well, what does meditate mean? What does it mean to meditate on God's Word? You ever gone to a five-star restaurant, fancy restaurant, finest china, where you have to dress up? If you weren't wearing a collar, they'd say, uncivilized, right? Not here, right? And everything is finely laid out. There's white tablecloths, the finest crystal goblets, and you order your meal, and you're looking at the menu, and you're like, whoa, okay, but wait, I'm here, and I'm going to order, and you order this expense, everything's expensive, and you order it, and it comes out, and it's small portions. You're like, man, I could get so much more for this money somewhere else, right? But when you go into a fine dining, you don't need the buffet. You don't need the all-you-can-eat. You're coming to get the best piece of meat, the best hand-picked vegetables with the best sauces on, the homemade bread, and the meticulously crafted salads and desserts. And when you sit there, you're not just sit there and you eat it as fast as you can. No, you slice every piece and you take in every smell and you chew every bite and you just savor it. You get every piece of flavor, every nutrient possible. You might be thinking, well, because this is all I got to make it last a while, right? Because they ain't getting nothing, no seconds or no refills here. But that it's so hand-picked and so choice that it's not a rush. It's meant to be eaten slowly, enjoyed. And that's really what meditating on Scripture is. It's chewing on Scripture. It's chewing on God's Word. It's to say, this is a choice piece of God's Word, and it is so rich, and it is of God, and there's so much in it. If I just will slow down, take it bite by bite, and try to excrete every piece of connection with God that it can allow me to have. About dwelling on it, thinking deeply, holding on to it, questioning it. Let's practice this for a minute. Just the phrase, love the Lord your God. We're going to slow down for a minute. Think about the word love. Now think about the Lord. Now think about your. Now think about God. Maybe you just got a little taste. That was a little too quick. I know that was too quick. But to chew on God's Word, to intentionally put God's Word in front of us, to take it in, to choose daily this diet of taking in God's Word, to keep the words in our mouth, because prosperity and success are on the line. It says, if you do this, if you meditate day and night and do everything, then you will be prosperous and successful. So that you will be well fed, so that you will be healthy, so you'll be strong to endure the challenges ahead, so that you can overcome and you'll be filled with His presence and His comfort. And now that last section, Joshua 1, as was read to us this morning, starting in verse 12. But the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, remember the command Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you. The Lord your God is giving you rest and has granted you this land. Your wives and children and livestock may stay in the land but Moses gave you to the east of the Jordan, but all your fighting men, fully armed, must cross over ahead of your brothers. You are to help your brothers until the Lord gives them rest, as He has done for you, and until they too have taken possession of the land that the Lord God is giving them. The Lord pauses here as He is building them up, reminding them of the command, reminding of the strength, reminding them of the courage, reminding where that strength and courage comes from. It's from meditating and chewing and daily being reminded of God's Word, and says, now remember the promise. Here's the promise for today. I will give you rest. I will give you rest. Does that sound like a good command today, a good promise today? Who couldn't go for a little rest? Well, the people, they had no rest in Egypt. When they were in slavery, there was no rest. When they were marching through the desert, there was no rest. When they were in the desert again longer, there was no rest for the people. So the promise was, when you get to that land, there will be rest. I will give you rest. Now, the idea of rest here for the Israelites would mean a life free from war, a life free from conflict, and a life lived with God by the gift of God. Remember, the Lord was with them, and the Lord promised He would never leave them. And He fulfilled that by defeating their enemies. He defeated their enemies of all the past up to this point, set them free from slavery, let them survive the desert, defeated some armies already. They'd already conquered the lands east of the Jordan River. And Reuben and Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh, they were already starting to possess their lands. They were already getting some of that rest. The Lord already defeated their enemies of the past, and the Lord is assuring them that He is in their present state with them now to overcome their fear and their doubts of what their lives are currently so that they can go ahead. And the Lord is promising He will be with them in their future challenges, giving them the land that they are commanded to possess. The Lord is still promising and still offering us rest. Look back in your life. How the Lord has brought you to this place. Look at where He has defeated things in your life in the past. Enemies of your past. Sicknesses of your past. Sins of your past. Struggles. Failures. And see how He's blessed you. He's been faithful. He's been with you, and He's not forsaken you. And here now today, He wants to give you rest. He wants to defeat your present fears, your present doubts, your present enemies, and your present battles that you may be in right now. The Lord has a future of prosperity and success for you. So how did the people respond? How will you respond? The people responded, whatever You've commanded us, we will do, and wherever You send us, we will go. Whatever, Lord, Whatever you have commanded, we will do. Wherever You send, we will go. Because You are with us. You have never left us. And Lord, I want that rest. Do you want that rest? Well, if you want that rest, know that the Lord is near you. He is not far. He is in your mouth. He is in your heart. So that you may obey it. What are their words in your mouth today? Are they words of faith? Words of assurance? Words of obedience? Words of love? Or are they words of doubt and fear and self? What are the words that are on your heart today? Are they words of love? Are they words of doubt? What has distracted you? To turn to the right or to the left or up or down or whatever way we may turn. Where's the word in your life? Well, whatever your response is today, that maybe your response, and it would be encouraging to know, to hear you say, and for this body to hear you say, the Lord is with me. The Lord is God. Jesus is the King. To say that, I believe in the Son of God. Just to say that, how good that is to hear that. How good it is to say that one to another. If you said that, I would be encouraged. I hope you are encouraged by hearing me say that just now. But maybe the word is, what's in your mouth is, I have turned. I have doubts. I have fears. I have battles. But know that the Lord promised you rest. And I pray this, and when you come apart of this body, that we can help share in that rest. We can give you comfort. We can pray for you. We can come alongside of you because we're in this thing together. The Lord will defeat all enemies, so cast your burdens at His feet and He will lift you up. Jesus is still calling, come to Me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. If we could help you in any way about anything about your life, about Christ, about being obedient, about loving, about being able to confidently say, Jesus, You are Lord, and I will do whatever, and I will go wherever. The church is here to love you and to help you. And if we can help you in any way, please come as we stand and sing.